But we're going to start off talking about, yes, your health insurance program. The Office of Personnel Management will give federal health insurance providers a gentle push tomorrow through its annual call letter. OPM Director John Berry says the changes are part of a broader initiative, an agenda that his agency is pursuing to lower the cost of health insurance for employees. And Federal News Radio's Jason Miller is here to give us details and analysis of OPM's plan. So OPM issues these call letters each year. Did Director Berry offer any insight into what it will actually say?
A little teeny bit of insight, you know, something we can talk about. Obviously, the call letter is expected to be issued Friday, and we're going to have it linked up on federalnewsradio.com. We're going to probably talk about it tomorrow as well. But what basically he said they're doing today is building on the steps OPM has been taking over the past few years to improve the health insurance programs, offer more benefits, more things for federal employees. OPM Director John Berry offered this high-level view of the call letter at the annual Federal Health Insurance Program Carriers Conference in Washington.
We're asking you to continue encouraging people to adopt healthy lifestyles by providing concrete incentives to participate in wellness and prevention activities. Your efforts through FEHB and ours at the workplace should combine to provide a powerful message to federal employees. The letter also gives support to integrated healthcare systems, reducing obesity, and addressing racial and ethnic disparities in health status and care. The call letter is a concrete, multi-pronged approach to moving toward the future that we all know is possible.
Now, call letters tend to be pretty basic. I talked to Walt Francis, who's the FEHB expert.
Yeah.
If you want to talk to one person,
he's the guru, the czar. He's the czar.
Yeah. He is also the principal author of Checkbook's Guide to Health Plans for Federal Employees. He's a usual guest on Mike Causey's Your Turn show.
Yep.
He says the call letters are usually a nice way for OPM to ask carriers to make changes to the plans. He says one likely area would be around asking carriers to offer what they call affinity benefits for domestic partners of federal employees. So obviously this is something that OPM tried to do last year through legislation. They didn't get it pushed through. So going through an affinity approach, which is much easier. Now, John Berry says about 75% of all Fortune 500 companies already offer this benefit for domestic partner insurance. He thinks affinity coverage, which is actually paid for by the employee so that it doesn't cost the government anything, is a step toward getting Congress to approve that full domestic partner benefits in government. Now, Walt Francis says in the past, OPM has used call letters to ask carriers to provide, for instance, pre-preventive health care benefits to enrollees at no cost or to offer coverage such as hearing aids. Obviously, we know the federal employees are getting older. They're going to need more help.
Yeah, right. So if this call letter is part of OPM's innovation agenda, what other steps is OPM taking?
Well, Berry says OPM is all about improving the health plans, and there are several steps they will take over the next year. For instance, under the Affordable Health Care Act signed into law last year, OPM is working with HHS on what they call the medical loss ratio. Now, the law requires insurers to spend 80 to 85% of their consumer premiums on direct health care for patients and efforts to improve the quality of care and less money on administration costs such as salaries and overhead. Berry describes how OPM wants to use this data.
And while OPM's job is to push for the greatest value for the taxpayers and our beneficiaries, it's not a one-way street. We're interested in hearing from you about how we can be better, how we can operate and manage the FEHBP marketplace to be more efficient. For instance, a number of our community-rated plans have raised questions about our current methodology for setting rates. My staff and I are undertaking a very thorough review of that methodology. We're building off provisions in the Affordable Care Act that define medical loss ratios, and we look forward to working with you on implementing this effort.
But Walt Francis says OPM needs to be very careful in how they use this type of information because it's not necessarily a useful tool.
It's actually a rather poor measure of how good a health plan is because it penalizes a health plan that's good at keeping overutilization down. So if you spend more on overhead to sort of be sure that money isn't wasted and you keep waste down, your medical loss ratio gets worse because the ratio between overhead and medical spending gets worse. Similarly, if your health plan is detecting fraud by careful network management, okay, to keep doctors who are more likely to be fraudulent off your preferred provider list, that costs money. Network management costs money. And indeed, one of the reasons you manage your networks is to get better doctors. So network management costs are going to count against health plans, even though they can reduce waste, reduce fraud, and improve the quality of the covered providers.
Now, Francis says instead OPM should consider using the data to actually find the weak spots in the current plans and not have it as a, what he called, a bludgeoning tool. Now, data also play a big role in another initiative. Barry says OPM will launch a new medical data warehouse later this year. Now, this is something we've talked about before, back in October when they first announced their plans. OPM wants to centralize information from all of their providers to get a better understanding of what's happening in their plans. Francis describes this as kind of lifting up the hood and looking inside.
So we've talked about the medical data warehouse before. You mentioned we did it back in October when they first announced it. But I remember we talked about it briefly, that there were some security, some privacy issues. Have they addressed those at all?
Well, 15 privacy and security non-government groups wrote a letter to OPM expressing just those concerns. Harley Geiger is the policy counsel at the Center for Democracy and Technology, which is one of the signees. He says there were two major concerns back in October when OPM put out the announcement, and he's not sure if they've addressed them fully yet. One is around the idea of creating a centralized data warehouse instead of a system that pulls from existing databases known as a federated database. Geiger says CDT and others met with OPM and tried to explain why a federated database actually makes sense.
We actually think that there is considerably less risk. So the health plans already have the data that we're talking about here. They've already got it because you submit your claims to them. So having it in a centralized database format increases the severity of risk, increases the number of people who access the data. In a lot of ways, completely unnecessary. You can perform a lot of the same data functions and still leave fully identifiable actual copies of the data with the health plans themselves. And I don't think that you're spreading out the risk any more than is already there. You're actually eliminating one of the databases to which the data would be sent. A big question is why OPM and many of the other claims databases that are out there, why they need fully identifiable data. You know, why do they need name and social security number?
Now, he says there's examples in government already of federated models that work very well. The FDA's Sentinel database, which tracks post-market surveys on medical devices, is just one example of how this could work. Now, the other issue was specifically around the privacy and security steps OPM would be taking to secure this database.
Right.
Geiger says OPM will issue a Federal Register notice in the coming weeks about what controls they're going to put in place, but he doesn't really know what the Federal Register notice is going to say. That during their briefing, they did explain the controls. They thought that they were pretty good, but what's the end result? He's still waiting on that. Now, Walt Francis says this type of data warehousing is being used by OPM now. It's being used by Medicare and several other agencies and healthcare providers, and employees really shouldn't be concerned. OPM, what they're doing now is just using the Blue Cross Blue Shield database, and what they want to do is have a database of all the people that are parts of the FEHB, not just those who use Blue Cross Blue Shield, about 8 million members total.
Wow.
So Francis says in the end, it really could help lower costs for insurers, and the data analysis will show what's working, what's not, where the places are that can be improved. And he says, you know, yes, there are some risks, but it's not any more risks than what's already going on.
So any other changes coming to the benefit plan?
Of course.
Yeah,
of course. Just a few.
Right.
There's several minor changes that people should look out for. For instance, John Barry talks about opening up the FEHB to employees of Native American tribes. This could add a few thousand more people to the program as well. Barry also says employees and carriers should expect savings in several other areas.
The president has put increasing FEHB's flexibility to secure lower pharmaceutical costs in his 2012 budget, and our team is going to work with you to make that happen. And because every efficiency counts, we expect to save roughly $5 million in premiums by dropping the brochure mailing requirement. Yeah. The full brochures will be accessible online, and they can still be mailed upon request if someone doesn't have access to a computer. But this will save us a heck of a lot of money and certainly a lot of trees.
He got applauded for electronic brochures?
Well, yeah. These are carriers. People have to mail these out. They said, if we don't have to do it, that's going to save us money, save money all around.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know, Walt Francis...
Well, this is one of these things that it's like amazing that this hasn't happened before. It's like sending out the SAVE Awards where they were sending out all these Federal Registers. Hold on. That seemed like an easy step.
Exactly. And I think Now, what Francis obviously said, well, we've got to be careful because not everyone has access to the internet, right, especially people who are the retirees. But at the same time, you know, John Barry's saying, no, we're not saying no brochures. We're just saying only if you request them.
Right. The default is not sending it.
Exactly. Yeah. Because what happens many times is you just get it and you throw it away.
Right.
And it's postage, paper, all those good things. Yeah. Now, one other note that kind of came up today I thought was very interesting. Last year, under the Affordable Health Care Act, Congress passed a bill to allow federal employees' kids up to age 26 to continue to be included in the program. Take a guess. How many people signed up?
Oh, it's not on my paper. I don't know, but
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, I'm guessing there's a lot.
A lot. 280,000
really
kids signed up.
Wow.
Kids, we're using kids. These are 22 to 26-year-olds, so they're not really kids, but young adults signed up for the program. So this has been another success that John Barry points to is, listen, we've now taken this group of people, 280,000 people, now have insurance coverage, and that's important.
And again, if I remember correctly, when that debate was going on, it ends up being no cost to the government. It just makes it available so people, I mean, you have to pay for it. You pay in a family rate rather than the single rate or whatever you were paying. So it ends up being no cost to the government. It just is a nice benefit to have.
Exactly. Yeah. It's something that, more and more companies are doing, just like the Affinity for Domestic Partnerships and some of the other things that they're going through.
Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. More.